You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive. Russell Smith punching the time clock here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Another beautiful day here in Big Orange Country. Oh, man, just sitting out there with the door open, chilling, enjoying the nice spring weather. It is a fantastic afternoon once again here in East Tennessee. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're able to enjoy it. Big show today. Very excited. Bert Bertelkamp coming up in just 20 minutes here on the show. Bear, is there anybody better to talk Tennessee hoops with than Bert Bertelkamp?
No. I mean, there's just not.
There's just not, is there?
No.
Like, if I were asking you, Bear,
all the history.
Yeah, if I were going to ask you, hey, Bear, we can talk hoops with one person. I mean, there's a lot of good people out there. Granted, we could get Stevie Hamer on. We could get Dane Bradshaw on. We could get Rick Barnes on the show.
Right.
It's probably better to talk Tennessee hoops with Bert than it is the head coach of the team, who is pretty darn fun to talk hoops with, by the way.
Oh, sure he is. I mean, there's just a certain tier of people. Bert is you know, at the top of the totem pole. I would probably, the only people that I would like to pick their brains about hoops and specifically Tennessee basketball would be Grunfeld or King, you know, if we could ever get one of those guys on with us.
Maybe someday.
But, you know, that's the thing about Bert. He was on the last team that won, you know, the SEC tournament, but also is a link to that era. You know, he's a Ray Mears guy, and he's just a fantastic – I mean, he's funny as hell, too. I'm really looking forward to this one.
All right, so that's coming up here in just a few. If you want to call the show, 865-546-8200 is your number to get on the G3 Help Me hotline. You can tweet at us. I'm at Russell Triple underscore Smith. He is at Bear WKGN. We will read from the Twitter sphere later on the show this afternoon. All right, Bear, before we unpack what happened last night in Nashville, I have a bone to pick with you, sir.
With me?
Wow.
With you, sir.
What the hell did I do?
It's not so much what you did, it's what you didn't do.
What did I not do?
Is there something you want to tell us about today? Something special? Something you might be celebrating?
Well, I mean, to be quite honest with you, I was a little peeved with Chance Collins that he put it out there because I know that you had forgotten it, and I was going to let you go. I was going to let you forget it just so that at 3 o'clock tomorrow.
How can I forget something you don't tell us in the first place?
I didn't have to tell anybody, any of the rest of the crew.
Bear.
I mean,
today
outside of three,
is,
I mean,
Bear's
my birthday.
29th name day.
Yeah, it's my name day. Shout out to the boys off Get Blitzed and, you know, my associates on Talk Sports. They all wish me a happy birthday without being reminded of it. You know, Three and Out guys are, you know, they didn't. And quite honestly, our relationship is so toxically codependent, Russ, that I was hoping you did forget it just so I could rail on you about it tomorrow.
How dare you forget the birthday that I've never acknowledged to you or anybody else for that matter. I don't even know how the Blitz Boys found out. But, Bear, I feel like this is so selfish of you. I mean, this is just like you. Not reminding
what?
Anybody that it's your birthday. It's not about you. Your birthday is not about you. Your birthday is about your coworkers. It is an excuse to have cake. Any excuse to have cake. I mean, I could have gone down to Kroger, Food City, wherever, bought you a nice chocolate cake, a nice Oreo cake. Even if you're not here to eat it with us, it'd be an excuse.
We'll eat it in your honor.
to stuff our faces and enjoy some yummy and delicious birthday cake. We don't get to do that.
You guys could. Well, I mean, you could do it tomorrow in honor of today. I mean, I can't eat cake right now.
That's too late.
So I'm supposed to be watching my sugar intake. So
aren't we all?
Yeah. I'm on kind of a diet right now. But anyhow, I've been eating a lot of fruit, a lot of blueberries. But yeah, it was. You'll find this out pretty quick. 'Cause you ain't that far behind me. Once you get to a certain age, you really aren't looking forward to your birthday anymore.
Yeah, I'm already there. It's just once you get to the last birthday, somebody did this. I'm ripping off some radio guy's shtick. It's like the part who somebody did this. Maybe as a comedian, every birthday that you get a party, you get a birthday party 1 through 10. Then you get a birthday party when you turn 16. Get a birthday party when you turn 21, and then that's it. Somebody did that whole thing.
I've maintained for a long time the last good birthday is 25.
25?
Yep.
Is that?
That's when your insurance rate goes down.
Exactly.
Yeah. For me, it was 35. Once you hit 35, it starts counting down. You know. Rather than counting up. I will say 2 years ago was an incredible birthday.
Why 2 years ago?
I don't know. That was the first birthday in probably, 15, 16 years that I really enjoyed. Had a fantastic day.
What happened? Did you get a gift or did you just?
Nah, it was just the whole day. Folks at my other job, it's the one day a year where I agree not to be mean, nasty, crusty.
Really? So you're not going to be mean, nasty, or crusty today?
No, I mean, hell, I got an incredible birthday. We've got Bert Bertelkamp getting ready to come on with us.
Alex,
I jumped out of bed this morning.
Alex, you've been on the show for what, 2 or 3 weeks now? Have you ever known Bear to go through an entire show not being mean or crusty? What do you think the odds are that he gets through the next 3 hours without exploding in an uncontrollable rage over something that is worthy or not of being exploded over?
I think it depends on how bad my hot or cold takes are about music.
Yeah. Speaking of music, are you aware of the fact that you share a birthday with George Harrison?
Of the Beatles.
Oh, yeah. There's some.
Of the Beatles, Alex. No, the other George Harrison. George Harrison of Daft Punk. Yes, George Harrison of the Beatles, Alex. Thank you for pointing that out. Thank you for our younger listeners who might not know who that is.
There's a lot of Beatles talk this week.
One of the greatest songwriters of the 20th century.
Would you say he's better than Paul McCartney?
No, not necessarily. I think that it was unfortunate that, a lot of people will tell you Harrison's first solo record after the Beatles split was called All Things Must Pass. And a lot of people, a lot of critics and music people say that would have been, that should have been the next great Beatles record. And those were all songs that he had for, Russ, several years, and they just never made a Beatles record.
It's a great double album.
Oh, it's incredible. So,
I've got the three-disc CD set where the third disc has, a bunch of acoustic, George banging out the acoustic demos of Beware of Darkness and some of the other songs.
Yeah,
let it down.
Clapton's all over that record.
Let it down, let it on.
That's where he stole his wife.
Phil Spector.
Yeah.
Produced, good stuff. Juicy.
So
juicy jams. All right, let's get into it, ladies and gentlemen. Happy birthday to the Bear this afternoon.
Thank you, sir.
Wish him a happy birthday, 865-546-8200. So, Tennessee beats Vanderbilt by 12. They cover on the road. You look at the score, 70-58, a workmanlike victory, right? We should all feel okay. Anytime you go into Nashville and beat Vandy and Memorial Gym, it is a solid accomplishment. But here we are today, and everybody feels like this team lost. It does not feel like a win. It was a hard game to watch. It was not a lot of fun watching the Vols last night. Talked to John and Hayden. They only made it 45 minutes on voluntary reaction. They were like, to hell with this. This sucks. Nobody is happy with the way this team is playing right now, Bear. We have one more game at Auburn Saturday and a noon tip-off. Nobody thinks we're going to win that one. They're terrible. Their star point guard might not even be playing. And still, I don't think anybody who's really followed Tennessee basketball closely feels confident that we are going to go down there and beat Auburn down on the plains. Bear, what's going on with this team? You go in there last night. Vanderbilt is not very good to begin with. They're without their two best players. A bad team is missing their star point guard, their star big man. They have nothing. No excuse for Tennessee not to roll in there and wipe the floor with those guys. They were an 8-point favorite, and that was with the odds makers thinking that their two best players, Pippen and Disu, were going to be playing last night. They don't play, and yet there we are, muddling around with them in the first half. Vanderbilt leading for a significant portion of the first half and cutting the lead to 4 points with about 4 minutes to go.
I think that the big problem was I felt like, you know, Barnes and staff are trying to force a square peg into a round hole. They started the game with, you know, Jaden, Keon, and I guess Bailey Wright.
Yeah,
or they pull Bailey off.
They started
Bailey and then
Pons
and Fulkerson. And it should have, I don't know if it's because he's been off with injury. I really feel like right now they need to be bringing Fulkerson off the bench. Because, I mean, he immediately picked up, what, 3 fouls in 4 minutes?
Well, no, he had 2 fouls in 4 minutes. But
the
second one.
He had to go to the bench.
Well, he had been to the bench. He picked up the second one. It was a good 12, maybe the 8-minute mark or so. But it was just a silly foul. It's like, what are you doing, man? Like, it was. It wasn't.
Yeah, we are
a,
not
I'm
playing
going,
smart basketball anymore,
yeah,
Russell.
It was a really weird foul. It wasn't a I'm going for a loose ball foul. It wasn't I'm playing hard, just hustling. Like, oh man, he caught an inadvertent elbow foul. It wasn't. He pushed the guy. He was just frustrated. Yeah. He was banging for position on the block, and he just pushed the guy with two hands. And it's
they're
like,
they're going to call that every time.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not even a foul. It's you could argue that it's an intentional foul. It was just like. Why did you do that?
Yeah, I don't know what all's going on with those guys. You know, I felt like Vescovi is there. So it's not just Fulkerson. I went back and watched some games from last year with Vescovi. Now, number one, he was turning the ball over way too much last year, but he's not playing with the same reckless abandon offensively that he did last year. It's like he's up in his head too much, and he's regressed. He's not the same player he was last year.
I have to wonder if Barnes told him that like some of those crazy passes he was making weren't going to fly, and so he's toned it back too much.
Oh yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, there was one play yesterday where it was actually a turnover, but in the second half where he kind of like drove to his left across the lane and he made this beautiful head fake that totally faked out the opponent. But then he dribbled the ball off his leg and it was like, oh, man, a flash of that South American flair that we saw last season followed by a turnover and just a silly play. But I want to pick out there's one point in the game that really stood out to me and won't make too big a deal of it, but I mentioned it on Twitter, and several people said the same thing. Man, I noticed that too. Glad you pointed that out, so I can't be the only one to have noticed. But I want to say it was around the 12-minute mark, and Tennessee is up by 10 or something like that. It was in that point where we were kind of going to sleep, and it was a back and forth. We could have really put our foot on their throat, but Pons gets the ball on the baseline, has it swatted away. It rolls out towards the top of the key. And a Vandy guy dives on it. And we had two guys. Bailey was right there. Vescovi was within diving distance. And Nobody gets on the floor. Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought, too. They pulled a Cam Newton in the Super Bowl where Bailey, like, had that minute where he thought about it. Then he's like, nah, I ain't getting in that mess. When is the last time you saw a Rick Barnes-coached team not dive for a loose ball?
Maybe the first year, maybe. But even that team.
I don't think it's ever happened.
As challenged as they were athletically compared to the crew we've had the past, you know, 4 years. I can't recall seeing that. That was very discouraging.
It was a noticeable moment. It's like, guys, we're playing Vandy in Nashville at Memorial Gym and nobody is going to die. Really? Nobody's going to die for that thing. Josiah did tie it up. He eventually kind of fell down, but he was reaching. He was standing on his feet, reaching, and then he went to a knee. And I don't even remember what I think they got the ball via possession arrow. But it stood out to me. I know it stood out to a lot of people. And to me, that kind of embodies what a lot of people have been saying about this team, which just kind of questioning their toughness. And it's a shame. I don't want to be too negative. Tennessee won the game by 12 points. There's still a chance that you can get hot going into the tournament. All bets are off. Who knows? There's a lot of luck involved. Victor Bailey playing really well offensively gives you some hope. Springer had a nice game last night. Keon did not. Can they put it together? You definitely think we're going to be different if Keon and Springer are hitting at the same time. So there is a chance, certainly, that Tennessee could be getting this thing, could get this thing fixed. But right now, I don't know that anybody would be betting.
I just don't understand why, you know, hopefully, here's the thing. If Bailey's health, or if Triple J's healthy, Bailey is consistently putting up numbers, you know, even in the same neighborhood as what he's been doing the past few games, and you get Keon and Jaden going at the same time, then I feel like, you know, we'll be able to stay on the court with just about anybody in the country. But if they continue to try and do this Fulkerson and Pons and the rotating yep. cast out on the perimeter, I mean, our half-court offense is just not very good right now.
Well, and we did look much better when we played with four guards, but we only did for a handful of minutes. We only did it
That's
for a handful.
That's when we get separation, though, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, they looked good, I thought. Anyway, we'll unpack that as we roll along. I can't wait to get Bert's thoughts on all this. Also, coming up later today, hour number two, first of all, we have a big programming announcement.
We do.
Yes. Folks are going to be excited about this. We'll be adding a new show to our lineup. And
really?
Yeah. And it's going to be a name that's familiar to our audience, certainly. And I think that it's going to be something that people are going to be excited about and just give Fan Run a little more flavor, a little more localized / regionalized flavor.
You've been holding out on me, Russ.
You know what I'm talking about. Hey, I just found out today, bro. I just found out today.
Yeah, but I've talked to you on the phone. You didn't tell me on our pre-show phone call.
I did not.
I mean, I'm not happy about
are
this.
You, are you hurt? You gonna be all right?
I'm a little pissed off.
You gonna get through it? Wait, I thought you were gonna be pissed off. Here, you couldn't even make it one segment. Couldn't even make it one segment without getting pissed off for no good reason.
Well, I feel like I should have an exception for this. I mean, you're not telling me. You know that I love getting the news. But before it gets announced, I don't like being the last guy to know.
I knew I could get it out of you. You're really upset, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're hurt. On your birthday, just 15 minutes ago, you were telling me how nothing gets you down. I'm not going to be angry or anything. You couldn't even make it out of the same segment without blowing a gasket.
Well, I mean, I was just wondering. You know, I mean, I thought the only way I'd blow a gasket today is if somebody who shall not be named pulled another drive-by on me like they did yesterday.
Well,
I thought that was the only thing that was going to make me mad.
I don't know why you would be mad. I mean, you're going to – it'll be okay. We have Ryan Callahan coming on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Ty Simpson nice. Makes – this time tomorrow, we will know where Ty Simpson is going to college.
Oh, yeah, he's announcing. He wanted to announce so that we would be on the air and able to break it down scientifically.
Yep. We appreciate him making his decision, taking Drive and Fan Run programming into account, and that'll be a lot of fun. I guess we can leave with that. If we find the audio, we can bring it to you live because he's supposed to announce at 3 o'clock tomorrow.
Do it live!
Do it live!
Absolutely.
So that should be a lot of fun. We got a great show lined up this afternoon. Ladies and gentlemen, oh.
We'll do it live! We'll do it live! We'll do it live!
I wish we could play the whole thing.
Prince to Sting to play us out on the way out here. Alex, stay with us. The Drive continues. Bert Bertelkamp coming up next on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
All right, welcome back. The Drive continues on Fan Run Radio. Russell and Bear back with you on The Drive. Pleased to be joined by a special guest via the G3 Help Me Hotline. Vol Network basketball color analyst Bert Bertelkamp joining us on the show. Good afternoon, Bert. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Hey, doing excellent, man. Great to hear your voice on the airwaves again. I know it was a late night last night for the Vol Network crew. What time did you guys get home?
Oh, it was probably between 11:30 and 11:45, something like that. We don't travel, so it's just a matter of driving home. We do the broadcast on the road games from the studio up at UT. So not that late of a night, but those 9 o'clock games, I'm not sure that many people enjoy those.
Okay, so you just dropped some knowledge on me. I was not aware of that you guys were not traveling. So that actually makes it a lot easier. But that's got to be really strange, especially for these big SEC games and Memorial Gym and elsewhere, that you're not actually there to feel that energy from, even if there is no crowd, at least the players and other people in the arena.
Well, it's been a very strange year all the way around, but you're right. We're watching a giant TV in the studios, first class. It's really nice, but it's not like being at the game for sure. You don't have the atmosphere. And last night, I think they said there was less than 100 people in the Memorial Gym. They don't have any fans, just I guess the staff and maybe a few families, members of players. But it's not typical, and it's not what you want it to be. But it's just the way it is right now. We all have to live with it.
Yeah, no doubt. And one of the things that we've kind of lamented on this year during our show is the fact that we have these two excellent freshmen, right? Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer, and there's some thought that they might only be here for a season. And, Bert, wouldn't it be a drag if those guys completely miss out on the experience of playing in a jam-packed Thompson Bowling Arena? I can only imagine what the atmosphere would have been like for, say, that Kansas game a couple of weeks ago if it had been a full 21,000 in there.
Oh, it would have been wild. It would have been great. And they. I'm not sure what their situation is going to be. It's anybody's guess whether they decide to come out or not. But, yeah, they miss a lot. All the players are missing a lot, but especially the freshmen who have never experienced what Thompson Bowling's like and what it's like to play on the road in the SEC. It's a grind, but it's exciting. It's fun to go in an arena when everybody's pulling against you and pull off an upset like up in Lexington. That would have been something they'd always remember. But, you know, it's just the way things are right now. And I think the SEC's done a heck of a job, really, getting in as many games as we have. I'm not sure. Saturday could be our last regular season game. I'm not sure if they're going to schedule any more games. But it's been a strange year. But at least we're playing basketball, and it could be worse.
Yeah, it has been, again, we say it, a strange year. And with one regular season game left to play at Auburn on Saturday. Bert, where is this team at right now? I know the record and the ranking is not what they wanted it to be, as high as it was at the early portion of the season. Do you think that they can get whatever issues they're going through figured out by the time the NCAA tournament starts here in a few weeks?
Well, hopefully. But they certainly haven't been playing very well, and they didn't play very well last night. Of course, Vanderbilt had their two best players miss the game with injury, and sometimes that can be a letdown. You're all fired up to play these guys, and then they're not playing, and then subconsciously you think, well, this game's not going to be very difficult, and then you don't play your best. You don't bring your A game, and several of our players are just they're not consistent. They've been up and down really all season long, and we've not really had a good stretch where we played winning basketball over a course of a number of games, and we're running out of games now. So Saturday's a big game for Tennessee to go on the road. If they can knock off Auburn after knocking off Vanderbilt, win, end your season with two road wins, would be a confidence booster. But they've not played up to their potential for sure the last, three or four weeks.
Bert Bertelkamp with us this afternoon on The Drive. It's Fan Run Radio. And Bert, you get to interact with Rick Barnes a little bit. You mentioned you're not actually at the game, so it's not in person as much, but you still get to see him and talk to him. How do you think he's handling this? Again, it's disappointing now, but you always know, Bert, it's a tournament sport. There's still an opportunity to get out there and really achieve a lot of the goals that they had at the beginning of the season.
Oh, absolutely. They can turn it around, and a couple of guys make a couple of shots here or there, get their confidence back, and start playing good. One thing we've done pretty well is play defense, and you can hang your hat on that. We're pretty tough to score on against most teams, and we've got to get our offense flowing better. But I think Coach Barnes has been he's somewhat frustrated, I think, but with the inconsistency, because we have veteran players that are struggling. The younger players are actually playing pretty well, and Victor Bailey's playing pretty well. But inside, with Pons has been up and down. Of course, he's had some injury issues, which have hampered him. And John Fulkerson, a great young man who had a great year last year, he's struggled here of late, and he's not playing his game. But those guys can turn it around. We've seen what they're capable of. It's just that the problem is we're running out of games, but they can get it turned around and we could go on a streak. We're capable of beating anybody, but not playing the way we've been playing. We've got to turn it up a few notches, and we got to eliminate the turnovers. Last night we had 17 turnovers. We just get sloppy with the basketball, and you can't win that way in the tournament because it's one and done, and so they got to take better care of the basketball, and they got to get some rhythm offensively, but it's certainly doable.
Yeah, the turnovers were really maddening last night, and you see Coach Barnes yanking guys when they make a bad play, and he's usually pretty good about getting them back in there pretty quickly. But he is a very demanding coach, Bert. Do you think that with everything that's going on this year with the COVID, do you think that his naturally demanding style can be is that weighing on players as well?
Well, I think by now they're used to him, and the veteran players certainly know how Coach Barnes is, and he's consistent, he's fair. He tells them up front when they come here, we're going to coach you hard and you're going to get better, and they typically do. Players do get better. And so I think they're used to him. Now, does that mean there's some indecision on the court from time to time? Maybe so, especially with younger guys. And I look at Keon Johnson, who's going 100 miles an hour all the time, and that's great because he's such a tremendous athlete, and he's got a great motor and a great desire to play hard, but it sometimes it kind of gets him in trouble, and you can see him sometimes hesitating maybe and not playing his natural game because he's concerned about maybe turning the ball over, or he's concerned about, is this a good shot, or am I going to get yanked if I take it? But Coach Barnes is consistent with them. They know what to expect, and he'll pull them out of the game, make his points, and typically put them right back in. So they get plenty of minutes. He's fair with them, and I think they understand what's expected. And he's very demanding, but that's how you get better, is being accountable and having to play hard and impress your coach.
Talking with Bert Bertelkamp this afternoon on The Drive. And Bert, we got spoiled as fans a couple of years ago when you had such great leadership from Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield, and even Kyle Alexander and Jordan Bones, just a lot of veteran leadership on that team. And those have been tough shoes to fill for two seasons now. Who on this team do you think has to be the leader and be more assertive and as far as demanding the ball and leading by example on the court?
Well, I would have told you up until the last few weeks it would be John Fulkerson based on his the career that he's had, and especially the year that he had last year, and he had some really good games, you know, early in this season. I think Victor Bailey's kind of emerging as a leader. He's been consistent really most of the season. He had a couple of shooting slumps, but he's been consistent. And Josiah Jordan James, he's another guy that was doing a nice job on the floor with leadership. He's kind of a glue guy. I think the players look up to him. But he's had injury problems, and he missed two or three games with a wrist injury. So no one's really emerged as that go-to guy. But I think if you had to give the ball to one person right now, you'd probably give it to Jaden Springer and tell him to make something happen. And that's a lot of pressure to put on a freshman, but he's really delivered game in and game out, with the exception of the Kentucky game in Knoxville. He's really been consistent. He's probably been their most consistent player on the offensive end, and had an outstanding year.
Seems like we've got a lot of really good wing players that operate. If you could pick just one, I'm going to put you on the spot here, Bert. If you could pick just one player, one element, let's say, to add to the team, would it be a point guard that you can depend on or a big man that you could throw it to in the post?
Well, I would probably say a point guard, because a point guard is so important, getting you into your offense, breaking down the other team's defense, getting into the paint and creating and making things happen, and keeping certain players from having to handle the ball so much, where you probably wouldn't have as many turnovers. Like when we had Jordan Bone, you just give him the ball and get out of the way. Yeah. He runs your offense for you, and he gets in the paint, he dishes, he creates, he does a lot of things that don't show up in the box score, but you don't have other players that are not as comfortable handling the ball, handling it out on the perimeter and making mistakes. And that's been one of the problems with this team, or turnovers. But that's a tough question. Inside, I would have thought going into the season, even though Pons and Fulkerson aren't physically really big, they are good inside players, and they're very capable of scoring points and defending on the inside. They've just been inconsistent. So if we can get them back playing well, I think we can play fine. But a point guard is, I think we've missed not having a true point guard this year, for sure.
Bear?
Hey, Bert, really appreciate you coming on with us. I just had a quick question, and more just wanted your opinion. Do you feel like we have, as far as our personnel goes, does that match with what we're trying to do offensively?
Well, that's kind of a tough question for me. I think when we play north and south and we're going to the basket and trying to get to the free throw line, I think we're in good shape. The way Coach Barnes likes to play is inside out. And the inside game just hasn't really been there. If you remember with Grant and with Kyle Alexander, we throw it into the post, they kick it back out, and we get open threes. We haven't been doing that. And so we're not playing, I don't think, the way he normally would have us play, but we kind of ended up spreading the floor and playing a lot of side to side and not really having a post presence. And I think that's been different. And I think it's allowed teams to kind of pack it in, and they're giving the shot that Fulkerson's not a threat from the three, and Pons will shoot him every now and then, but he's not really a threat. Most teams give him that shot. So it's hard to get to the rim because they put their big guys, especially, you know, a team like Kentucky, put Isaiah Jackson right in the middle of the paint. Well, it's hard to do much with him in there. So, you know, I think they're doing what they can with a bunch of wing players, honestly. That may not be the answer you're looking for, but that's the best I got.
Well, I think it's interesting, Bert, because a couple of weeks ago it looked like Barnes was kind of switching it up when he put Josiah into the starting lineup, and they had that four-guard look. And then, of course, he got hurt, and so he's out for a couple of games, and they went back to starting Pons and Fulkerson together. It'll be interesting to see what kind of lineup and rotations he comes with this Saturday down at Auburn.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't see James in there and playing that small ball. because you're right. Before Josiah got hurt, he was playing really well, and he was doing a nice job because he's capable physically of guarding a four-man. And we were looking pretty good playing that way, and then he goes out with an injury, and he's not himself, misses two games or three, I think two, and then he came back last night, but he was a little bit rusty. But I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't go back to that small ball, especially if we can't get with Fulkerson, has been getting in foul trouble, which has been difficult. But we'll see some more of that small ball before it's over, I'm sure.
Bert Berlekamp, thanks so much. We appreciate you. On your way out, Tennessee against Auburn, Bruce Pearl's just had the Vols number for the past couple of seasons, it seems, but they've had a rough year down there this year. It would seem that if you're going to get them, that this would be a ideal time.
Well, I think so, and I think it's still up in the air if a Shreve Cooper's going to play. If he plays, they're really a much better team because he's such a great point guard. I'm not sure of his status. I heard he was not going to play, but who knows. But Bruce is a heck of a coach and does a nice job. And Auburn, they play so hard all the time, and they chase down missed shots and get a lot of opportunities. So they're difficult to play against.
Now, Bert, be honest, you guys roll in there to the Vol Network offices in the studio to do the game. You don't have to get all gussied up. Are you in there in just shorts and a T-shirt, potato chips on your belly doing the game? Is that what's going on there?
Hey, that's exactly what's going on. it's like it's one step, and it's a lateral step from being at home watching the game. You know, we just got a headset on, and the benefit is, you know, you don't have to travel, but we give it up in a minute to be on the sidelines with a full house. I can guarantee you that.
Hopefully next year. Bert, always appreciate the time. Thanks so much for hopping on.
Sure thing. Y'all have a good day.
That's Bert Berlekamp, Vol Network basketball color analyst, making his presence felt on the G3 Help Me hotline. If you or loved ones injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howe III at 865-558-8030 or go online to g3helpme.com. All right, a lot to unpack there. We got to take a quick timeout. We'll be right back. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive. Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russell LeBaire back with you on The Drive. Bert Berlekamp. Oh, the G3 Help Me hotlines. Bear, what did you learn?
I mean, a lot.
Just so much you can't even name one thing specifically. It was just like information overload.
Yeah, I kind of feel that. I felt like I put him on the spot with the question.
Yeah, you're trying to get him to rip Barnes.
Well, you knew what I was going to ask. Why'd you let me do that?
There's a way. There's a way you can ask. You got to kind of soften it a little bit, right?
I think the way I originally worded it in my text to you was a little bit softer than how it came out.
Yeah, you got
to
give them a little off ramp there.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's an art to this.
I kind of did the bear thing, and there's no off ramp. It was just a 60-degree incline.
It's like, hey, Bert, I think Barnes is really making some big mistake with the style of basketball he's playing. Why does he do that?
Golly. Sorry.
You could tell that. I mean, he said it at the end. We play better at the small ball lineup. That was evident last night. I don't think you have to be James Naismith to figure that out. Anybody who's watched us play throughout the season knows that we have looked best with Josiah Jordan James playing the four. He's our best rebounder anyway. I keep saying that. He has gotten really big.
Triple J?
Yeah. He's a...
Oh, yeah, absolutely he has. He's a specimen.
He's a big dude.
He's a big guy.
Yeah, I think he could play that Dane Bradshaw stretch four role.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it on the air. I'm also beginning to wonder if physically, if he doesn't... I realize the ceiling with two youngins is probably a bit higher than his. But he's the one with the frame and the muscle mass to, you know, go banging every night in the NBA. So I don't know. He's kind of a tweener, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't know what his projection to the next level is. It's interesting. Remember, people have already forgotten that he came here as a five-star point guard, and we played him a lot there last year. And I think that he would have been the starting point guard on last year's team had he not dealt with those preseason injuries that kind of put him behind.
And yeah.
He has those skills and brings the ball up the floor a lot, and I think we're all comfortable with him in that role. But that's another thing that stood out to me about Bird. I asked him, if you could choose between a point guard and a big man to add to this mix, what would it be? And he really didn't hesitate. He said, we need a point guard. We need somebody that can handle the ball against pressure, can score off the bounce, they can hit guys for the open shots. Just don't have that right now. Feels like Bailey has usurped Vescovi. They're both going to play a lot, obviously. But still, it's not an ideal situation. And we even saw it last night. When that game got tight, that four-minute mark, they hit us with some full-court pressure, and we actually handled it pretty well. For all the turnovers we had last night, I do think that they handled the full-court press at the end. They didn't turn it over. It was hairy. We're all kind of holding our breath and white-knuckle time, but they made it across and were able to run some clock and get out of there with the win.
Yeah, it was just such a – last night was just such a bad game to try and watch.
I think I tuned in 15 minutes after the game started, and the very first tweet I saw said 9 turnovers and 2 fouls for John Fulkerson. I was like, okay, well.
He didn't have 9 turnovers.
No. 9 turnovers for the team, sorry.
Oh.
And 2 fouls for John Fulkerson already.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see who shows up. Now, if Josiah is healthy and can play, and that's our best lineup. Campbell actually did give us some decent minutes. He made those 2 garbage buckets, did not play in the second half, but he ate up some clock and was not a glaring liability for his minutes in the first half. But I thought he did give some decent minutes there. And then
appearance from Pember.
We did have a Drew Pember cameo out there. Forgettable as it was, it did happen. 865-546-8200. If you want to jump in on the drive this glorious Thursday in East Tennessee, Russell Abear back with you. Let's bring in Charles on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Hello, Charles.
Hey, Russ.
What's up?
How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
I just want to call and wish Bear a happy birthday to him. Hope he's having a great day.
Oh, that's so sweet. Bear, Charles.
Thank you, Charles.
That was very nice of him.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He's one of the best on the show, and I just wanted to call and tell him happy birthday. Hope everything's going good.
It is. It is. I appreciate it. Having a great day. So looking forward to the new news about the station and got a serious dinner lined up as soon as we get off the air.
Well, thanks. That's fantastic. Well,
thanks, Charles.
This season well. Thanks, man.
Appreciate you. Audience loves the Bear.
I mean, I knew that.
What kind of dinner are we talking about here for your birthday?
Chesapeake's.
Ooh.
It's high class.
Now, are you actually going down there or are you just getting takeout? Did we lose Bear?
No, huh? Oh. Sorry. You there?
Yeah.
Yes. We're still here.
Oh. Yeah, no. I had to turn down for just a second. I'm getting it curbside.
How did you manage to make that weird? Innocuous question. I'm sorry. I'm not going to go in on you on your birthday. Curbside takeout from
Chesapeake's. Yeah, I mean, I was coughing. I didn't want to hack up everything while I was live on the air, and I was in the middle of it. It was have myself turned down.
Do you know what you're going to order? Do we have a go-to dish?
Oh, tonight, probably shrimp and grits.
They do a good shrimp and grits down there, Chesapeake's.
Have you ever known Chesapeake's or anybody in the greater Calhoun's Copper Cellar family to not do something right?
It's a good point. Going to go for the strawberry shortcake?
No, I'm not the biggest strawberry person.
Oh, of course not. Of course not. I believe that is on the list. How could I possibly have forgotten?
Yeah, I think that one's, you give me a little more grief than I probably deserve on that one. I have to watch
my
sugar.
It's not on the
right
list.
Now,
wow.
So.
Okay, that's fantastic. Bear's birthday, and we do get to make a key addition on the list of awesome things that Bear hates. Strawberries going in there right after Mike Leach and South Park. Okay, that's outstanding, Bear. I'm glad that we could, on your birthday no less, add strawberries, the probably number one most loved fruit in the world. I don't really think there's a close second. Bear doesn't like it.
Give me a break. Yeah. Apples, oranges, bananas, blueberries. So that's what I'll be eating for dessert. I've been making a pretty mean fruit cocktails.
I'm inundated right now with messages. People want me to read the list. I don't know if I have time to read the list right now. We've got a hard out coming out. Do I have time to read the list? Do I have a minute?
You got a minute.
40 seconds to read the list of awesome things Bear hates. Here we go for his birthday.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we live in our dream.
All right, here we go. I have to be fast. Key lime pie, dry fit shirts, buffets, Thanksgiving dinner, Christmas, screen doors, Field of Dreams, Pearl Jam, zoos, Olive Garden breadsticks.
I'm sorry.
King's Hawaiian rolls. Halloween. No time. Hush. Turn your mic off, Alex. We're reading the list. Very serious stuff here. Red Panda, McDonald's, Hoosiers, hot tubs, Van Morrison, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, cruises, the Great American Cookie Company, Braveheart, Huey Lewis in the News, The Color Red, Trail Mix, Magic, Jelly Beans, Ben & Jerry's, Disney World, South Park, Mike Leach, and strawberries. Stay with us. The drive continues. Hour number two coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio.